Welcome back to Broken to Barbell. As always, this is Tanner.
This is Sam. And Woo! This is Carly.
Sam's back with us in Pittsburgh. Yeah, we'll get you.
The gang's back together.
Yeah. Sam, why does your microphone sound so quiet?
I'm a quiet mouse.
You're quiet.
No, it is really low.
A quiet mouse. There we go. I'll turn you up. I'll turn you up, girl. All right. So, and we have a special guest with us this week. Special guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Dion Ciccone-Fraser. As you can tell, I have a weird accent. I'm originally from New Zealand. But yeah, I'm stoked to be here with you guys.
That's awesome. Thank you for talking to us today.
Yes, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So let's jump right in. Carly, you want to go?
Yeah, Dion. So just tell us a little bit about like where you're from and your upbringing and how you got to where you're at.
Yeah, for sure. Well, like I said, I'm from New Zealand. I'm from a small town called Whanganui. So it's like nothing much going on back home, like a lot of farmland, a lot of sheep, a lot of peacocks. Small town mentality, you know, you don't really want to leave your hometown until you start going traveling and then you realize there's an entire world out there. That's crazy how travel works. But yeah, my background was Muay Thai kickboxing. That was my sport for coming up on 8 years now. It's what I love, what I like doing.
So
that's awesome.
So when did you decide to move to the US?
What made you want to leave New Zealand?
Yeah, so when I was fighting back in New Zealand, I came across this sport called CrossFit. I went to CrossFit one day. I'd never heard of it in my life. And I met my then just assistant coach, and I started going to classes, and I was like, you know what, this is kind of cool. I want to use this as a part of my training regime. And then she became my strength and conditioning coach. And then halfway through my fight camp, we started dating. We broke the first, you know, personal trainer rule of not to date your clients. So, she broke that rule. But yeah, we started dating halfway through camp. And then my original goal at the time was to have my last fight in New Zealand, which was in 2012 in March, and then move to Australia to start, you know, to keep fighting. There's more money to be made in Australia. That was my original goal. But once my last fight was done, I was dating this girl and I didn't know what to do. And she was moving to one of our biggest cities in New Zealand called Auckland. And she was doing her master's in international business and marketing. And I was like, you know what, do I want to risk staying behind with this girl that I don't really know, or do I want to move to Australia where I'm like, I know that I'm where I'm going. I've got a place set up. I've got a gym that I'm going to train at. So I said, stuff it, like screw it. I'll just stay with this girl and we'll see what happens. So I scrapped all the Australian plans. And then when she finished her master's program in New Zealand, she said, do you want to move to America with me? I said, sure, why not? That sounds pretty fun. sounds like a good time.
Oh, little and, did you know what you were getting yourself into.
Yeah. So we got married in 2013, and then that year we moved to Pittsburgh. We moved to America.
That's awesome. It's very interesting that you moved to Pittsburgh, you know, like of all places.
Yeah, well, she's from Pittsburgh. So,
Okay.
She grew up in the Sewickley area.
Okay. So, okay, that makes it less crazy. Pittsburgh, they say Pittsburghers are like boomerangs. They always end up back home. So,
pretty much. Yeah. That's what she told me when we moved back.
So what do you think in that whole thing, like what was the hardest part in New Zealand and before coming here? Like what?
Like adjusting, like in terms of lifestyle and stuff like that?
Yeah, maybe that. Yeah. And like what really got you into kickboxing and all that stuff too? The fighting.
Oh, geez. I was working at this place called Foodstuffs in New Zealand. So it's basically like a supermarket packing, like you're packing orders for supermarkets.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, yeah, it's a terrible job. Anyway, I met this guy named Eddie, and he said, you should come to this kickboxing gym. I've got this kickboxing gym that I started. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll come. So I went that night, and it was in a Boy Scouts hall. So when I first pulled up, I said, this isn't good. Like, it's not good when it's in a Boy Scouts hall. That's not a gym. That's not a conventional gym that you know about.
Yeah.
So I went in there, and it was just old, very old school. Like, you had the pads, the focus mitts, and the kickboxing pads, and that was about it, and a bunch of jump ropes, and that was about it. And he didn't really care about making money off it. He just said, look, just pay me $5 a month and then just keep coming back and just keep learning. So as anything goes, the more you start going, you start learning about it, you start to love it. And then eventually he offered me my first fight, and that was in 2008. Yeah. And then it just took off from there. You have your first fight, and then you start training the newcomers that come into the sport, and then you have your second fight, and then you help all these other guys out. And then it's one of those really bad snowball effects.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the more you come into contact with people. You just keep doing what you love. And now it's 2018, and I live in Austin, Texas, and I'm still doing what I like doing.
Yeah. So you continue that all like through your journeys through Pittsburgh and the Muay Thai?
Yes, I kept doing Muay Thai. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. Muay Thai, it's a great drink. It's great.
Oh, my God. My bad.
You're so good. It's all good. I kept doing Muay Thai in Pittsburgh. There was a gym named Stout Training in the Strip District, so we kept going there. And then we were there for maybe a year and a half, and then we moved to Portland, Oregon. Kept doing that there, and then obviously Austin, Texas, and I'm still doing it here.
So your wife got you back to Pittsburgh. Was it for school or just moving back in general?
Moving back in general,
because she was
my wife. Yeah, my wife had a really hard time. My wife had a really hard time trying to find a job in New Zealand. A lot of people really don't know, but Americans in New Zealand don't really have the best relationship in the world in terms of Americans coming to New Zealand. I didn't really realize that until I saw my wife go through it. It was one of those things where, why do you want to move from America, a place that has so many things, like every opportunity at your disposal, but yet you want to come to New Zealand?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't really good for my wife. It kind of sucked for her. I felt real bad. So when the opportunity to move back to America so she can find a job, I was like, yeah, this sounds like fun. Like, let's do it, you know? But yeah. I didn't actually realize that America would be my home until I moved there. I was like, oh, wow, I'm not going back home anytime soon. So, oh, well. Oh, well, too bad.
Yeah. Like, woohoo.
Yeah, exactly.
You bought some red party cups and you were ready to go.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you were in Pittsburgh for a year and a half, which is when I met you at Arsenal CrossFit. And like meeting Dion and Megan, they're like just a ball of energy. Like they're super positive people. No, that's why like when I was in Austin, I was like, I'm not leaving this state until I see both of them. So that's why I went to On It and all that. Because like they're just good people to be around. Like they lift you up. Like I specifically remember one running wad at Arsenal and I was like dead last per usual, and Megan like ran alongside me and was like, come on, you got this, like you're good, like just like super motivating people, you know, like instead of just sitting there waiting for everyone to finish,
she just stayed there with you and did it.
Okay. Yeah, so like that's, I mean, obviously you can see Dion here, like he's an electric guy, but like we have to meet up with him in person sometime because they both rule. But anyway, so that's when I met them, whenever they lived in Pittsburgh. So talk a little bit about your decision to move to Portland and what took you to Portland.
So there was a company, well, there still is a company in Portland called Society 9. They're a manufacturer of women's specific boxing gloves. So they're gloves that are just shaped for the woman's hand. And my wife loved it. My wife loved that idea. And she said, you know what? They could need some marketing advice or help. So I told Megan to reach out to them. I said, hey, why don't you just reach out and see what happens? So she did. And then within the week, she said, hey, the owner of Society 9 said, hey, would you like to come work for me in Portland? So again, it was one of those mentalities where we were like, another excuse to drive cross country. Like, yeah, heck yeah, let's do it. Like, just pack up everything. We'll sell it, all the things we don't need, pack everything up in the car, and then we'll just drive to Portland and we'll figure everything out on the way there. So that was basically it. My wife got a job.
That's wild. That's awesome. It's cool that you were just both in the mindset and the capacity. You're just like, let's literally just pack up the car and leave.
Yeah, because most of the time, a lot of people put a lot of stress on moving and just change in general. But I always say that as long as my wife and I are together, we're going through it together, then we're all good. Like, we could live anywhere and be fine. As long as we've got each other to kind of go back and forth with, we're all good. It doesn't really matter where you live, you know?
Yeah.
It's just all part of the fun, you know?
That's awesome.
So is that what you did to her when you decided to leave Portland? You're like, hey, we're packing up the car again.
So she got actually another job offer.
Oh.
she got a job offer here in Austin, Texas. And she was like, do you want to move? And I said, hell yeah, let's go. Like, you know, we've got all these friends in Portland that we miss very much. But you know what? It's another opportunity and it's another excuse to drive cross country. So every time that kind of comes up, I'm still in tourist mode. So I want to see everything. I want to see a whole bunch of things. And
yeah,
it's a good excuse to do that.
So, okay. So the moment of truth, what is your favorite American city you've lived in so far of the three you have? Right? Just three? And it's okay.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh isn't necessarily the right answer.
I always called Pittsburgh my second home. Whenever we're around, I tell them that I moved to Pittsburgh first. I don't know why, but everyone kind of slags off Pittsburgh. Like, they just kind of dismiss Pittsburgh a little bit. And that really annoys me. Like, yeah. I start like getting I call it blind loyalty. Like, I have a blind loyalty to Pittsburgh. I don't even understand football games. I've been to a Pirates game and I left after the first inning. It wasn't my thing. I've been to a Pens game. I don't know anyone on the Pens, but I've got this blind loyalty to those teams that when anyone slags them off, I'm like, you know, screw you. They're the best team in the freaking world. I'm like, man, Pittsburgh Steelers are the best. Like, I don't know why. Like, it's so bad.
But believe me, they are.
But I love Pittsburgh so much. I just love the energy about Pittsburgh. I love the people of Pittsburgh. I even love the narrow streets of Pittsburgh. It's weird. I don't know. But yeah,
it's such an interesting city just because – well, the rest of the U.S. still has that old view of it, the old scary Pittsburgh, you know?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's like, no, it's...
It doesn't look like that anymore.
Pretty tame. Yeah. There's a gastro pub downtown. You know, whatevs.
Exactly. Like, it's not... Whenever anyone says anything bad about Pittsburgh, the first question I ask them is, when was the last time you were there? And if they say they've never been, then I just walk away from the conversation. I'm like, then I can't be bothered talking to you.
That's awesome. So when you were in Pittsburgh, did you work for Lululemon or did Megan work for Lululemon? And didn't you guys work there in Portland too? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yes. I started with Lululemon in New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
And the team in New Zealand helped me move over to Pittsburgh, contacted the store over in Pittsburgh and just made sure that they knew who I was and that job security, basically.
Yeah.
I worked for the Shadyside store and just kept going until I got to Austin. But then I got another job offer here in Austin as well. But yeah, I love Lululemon so much. I'm wearing Lululemon right now. Lululemon is my pajamas that I wear to bed. Like, I love Lululemon.
I don't have.
That's awesome.
I don't have any Lululemon.
Me either. Someday.
Send
what?
Some. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. There's a store right.
Yeah, we're like right beside the Shadyside store right now.
I have a pair on the way.
Yeah, I live on like right near Walnut Street. So
right on South Aiken.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, I highly recommend Tana to just start small. Just get the underwear and the socks.
All right.
It's a little expensive. The underwear is like $25. It's expensive, But just start small. That's okay. All I want. That's all I want from you, Tanner.
That's. I'll start. It will start from the inside out. So we'll start with the socks and underwear and work my way out. Yeah.
Didn't I tell you too that I went in there and I tried on leggings and they changed my life? Like, I've been dreaming.
Is that the
about
one
them.
You said you cried when
yes.
you tried?
It's a serious. And now I have a pair on the way. They're in the mail. So.
Oh my goodness.
It's starting for me.
That's great.
So talk a little bit about Onnit and your experience working at Onnit.
What is Onnit for,
yeah,
for
so
us?
Onnit is a supplement company. Their flagship item, which is Alpha Brain, is a cognitive enhancer. The CEO of our company is Aubrey Marcus, and he is like the most loving, weirdest thinking guy that I've ever met. But yeah, we've got our Alpha Brain, our Shroom Tech Sport, and our New Mood, which is our three flagship items that we have here. And we've got our gym here, Onnit Academy. We certify coaches, and I could go on. It's kind of boring, but yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know, because I've like Googled it one time, I think. I think when I found out you got the job there, me and Carly were talking about it, so that was the last I looked at
gotcha.
It. Yeah, and that's been a while, so...
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Dion gave me the personal tour of their facility down there.
Uh-huh.
It's really cool. Megan trains there, correct?
Yeah, Megan trains at our kickboxing gym that's connected to Onnit. Yeah.
And as far as your workout you're working out right now, do you work out at Onnit or do you still do CrossFit or do you do training with Megan?
Yeah, so I do actually kind of a little bit of both, really. I'm following a CrossFit program that my friend Quint Fisher has done for me in Portland, Oregon, out of the gym called CrossFit Magnus. So he programs my workouts for me. But I also do kickboxing as well, just because we've got a bunch of fighters and they've got some fights coming up soon. So I'm balancing Muay Thai kickboxing with CrossFit and, you know, anything else that my friends want to do fitness wise on the side, like go for a run or do rowing sprints for the hell of it. Cause our offices are right next door to the gym.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah. So we can just literally open the door and we're in the gym. So at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll kind of pop our heads up from the computer, kind of look around, like we'll point at each other. You working out? All right, let's go. So it's that kind of thing.
And so Onnit has a lot of like kettlebell classes and they've got like special kettlebells. So they have like gorilla heads and like,
oh, that's cool.
Star Wars and a bunch of different.
I want the Star Wars one.
And then they also have, they also have this thing. I don't know what it's called, Dion, the like long, heavy.
The mace, steel mace.
Yes. Yeah. So they have like workout classes with these like long steel maces.
Oh, I was like mace, like the thing, like medieval.
Not the spray.
Yeah, like no, like the stick that has like the spiky ball on the end. Isn't that called a mace?
That Jenny has tattooed on her arm.
Really? It's like swinging it around
in
the gym.
Yeah, I don't know what those are called. But no, either way, check out Onnit on Instagram because they've got all kinds of interesting workouts going on down there. So with you and Megan,
yeah,
are you currently her coach? Because I watched her last fight and he was like in the ring. It was cute. He was like in her corner and whatnot, like supporting her
like
while
the
she
shoulder
was
massage
yes,
kind of thing.
Yeah, like think of Rocky and like the people that like spray the water in his mouth. Like that's Dion for Megan. So talk a little bit about that experience, like coaching your wife.
Yeah, so my last fight, going back to my last fight, was in 2013. I retired from then on. I never fought again. I still haven't had a fight since, but I've just been coaching. And my wife was still going to classes along the way. So she was going to classes. And again, like I said, the more experience she got, she started to love it. And then she got her first fight in Portland, Oregon, a couple of years ago. So I just decided to be a coach, you know, I think we trusted each other. So she, you know, being that she was my strength and conditioning coach, and now that I'm her Muay Thai kickboxing coach, we kind of have this this interaction. We don't even have to say words. I mean, of course, she's my wife and I'm her husband, obviously, but we have this interaction that we can kind of just look at each other, do a little bit of a head tilt, be like, do you get what I'm saying? She's like, yeah, I get what you're saying. So we kind of have gelled like that. So I'm in her corner for every one of her fights so far.
That's cool. That's awesome. You got the shorthand going.
Sure.
Yeah.
I got
the married couple brainwave shorthand.
Yeah.
Sam, do you and Scott have that?
Sort of. Comedy. Mostly laughing.
Mostly just laughing at jokes.
Yeah, we have the same.
Yeah.
Do you send each other dank memes all the time?
All the time. We'll be sitting beside each other and we'll send them. So we can just laugh.
Do you go back to New Zealand often?
No, unfortunately not. It's
how much is a
plane?
It's
not only the plane ride's really long, the tickets are expensive, but you can't just go for a weekend.
Yeah.
Like you have to really dedicate time to going back. Like a week is all good, but when you travel back, you've gained a day and you've gone through multiple time zones that you'll by the time you leave, you're just getting used to New Zealand time. So I went back in 2014 just for a week, and that exact same thing happened to me. I left Thursday morning, and I got into New Zealand on Thursday evening, but it was a 20-plus hour flight. So I didn't understand how that worked.
It's something about the time. I know what you mean, though. It's the time, the international dateline or whatever.
Yeah.
So you essentially, you gained a day, and that day was Thursday.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have to go with it. My wife said, don't think about it too much. Otherwise, your brain would die.
Just show up and figure out what day it is. Like, okay, this is the day now.
Yeah, pretty much.
So your mom still lives in New Zealand?
Yeah, my mom's still back home. She we Skype or FaceTime, sorry. We FaceTime every now and again just to see what's going on. And it's, again, small town. So my mom just fills me in with all the gossip. You know, I was at the Lotto store the other day, and I saw this guy wearing crazy shoes. I saw crazy shoes on this guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. What else is going on, mum? So that's pretty much what's going on back home. A guy with crazy shoes.
I just imagine like two peacocks fighting to the death. The most colorful throwdown.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you an only child, Dion?
I am an only child. No brothers and sisters, yeah. But that's the thing. Like I consider most of my good friends like my family. Like I'll call some of my good friends sisters, and I'll call some of my good friends brothers. And I mean, family doesn't have to be blood, and I just treat them the same way. But by blood, no, I have no one. I have no one. But that's fine.
That's when you make your friends your siblings. You're like,
yeah, yo, exactly.
This is what's happening.
The only bad thing about being an only child is that if something goes wrong in the house, like I experienced this when I was a kid. If there's chocolate cookies gone from the pantry, or if there's like something else that went wrong in the house, I can't blame it on siblings.
Yeah.
Because my mum will always know that it's my fault. So I can't hide it. That's the only bad thing about being an only child.
Blame it on the peacocks. I'm obsessed with peacocks. I'm in it. I'm ready.
And you have like your Lululemon family from Pittsburgh and New Zealand and Portland, and now you're in Austin with your Onnit family. So you've got all kinds of support all over the board.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And that's why I love that. I love that so much.
So if anybody's watched the podcast, they have seen us post about DM before. It's because he has his own podcast. And what was that podcast? And when did you start it?
So it originally started as the Honor and Conquer podcast. To be frank, I haven't done it in a long time just because of my job. I've gotten a little busy, but I started it in Pittsburgh. I can't remember when I started it.
When did you move here? 2012, you said? Or 2014?
2014, I think.
13 going into 14. It was probably 14 I started it. I can't remember. But I started it because I always wanted to do it. Like, I was a big fan of the Joe Rogan podcast, and I was like, you know, this is kind of cool. Like, you just get to sit down and talk with, you know, people who you've never met before or people who are your closest friends, and you get to just chat for 30 minutes to an hour-long conversation that no one really gets to do anymore. Like, yeah. Everyone's just so busy, and you just get to sit down and appreciate those times. So I started just basically doing it from that mentality. And the equipment that I had, I just had an iPad that my father-in-law gave me, and I just used the onboard microphone that's built into the iPad. And that was the first maybe 15 to 20 episodes was just terrible audio podcasts. But I didn't really care. I just wanted to sit down with my friends.
We've had some good audio mishaps. Like, the one time I forgot a recorder, so we had to record it on a laptop. And
on an iPhone, I think. Didn't we do that one?
No, because Sam did her iPhone, and I was actually surprised at how good the audio was for her and her mom's interview. And then, we've recorded on the front porch at my parents' farm. So there's like,
tractors
driving past.
I listened to that one. But you know what I loved about the episode is that it was so authentic. Like, you didn't even try to hide the tractors.
No, it was just happening.
You just let it ride. Like, just, it's happening. Like, you told us that it was happening. Tough. It's going on. I loved that.
It's like, I think it's just more fun to be that level of authentic instead of trying to edit out the tractor.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
The dog fight.
Oh, yeah. The dog. Oh, it was. Yeah.
Usually, like, when we're recording here, Tanner will have the windows open and an ambulance will go by and you'll, like, hear it in the background. Like, yeah, we're recording from Tanner's living room.
That was the last one. I was like, oh my God, the ambulance going past.
Yeah. Just adds a little extra effect.
Oh, yeah.
So did you go to college for any of this, or are you all self-taught?
All self-taught, man. I didn't go to college for anything. As soon as I left high school, my first job out of high school was contractor builder, like a building places and stuff. So that was my first job out of high school. I did not go to college or anything. I halfway like through my life, I said to myself, man, I wish I went to college or university or something like that. But now where I am, being 30 years old, I'm kind of glad that I didn't go. But yeah. Never went.
That's where I'm at. I could go back for my bachelor's, but it's getting really hard taking it.
I thought you – aren't you currently in school?
Yeah. No, but that's – I was like – but going back for my bachelor's, it's just like relating to people 101.
Oh.
It's like, oh, God, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I don't know if I can do this. It's hard. Life's hard.
So I remember you had like Conquer Club – when you had Honor and Conquer. I thought it was so cool. So he like highlighted like athletes and various different people that were like doing good in what they were doing. So talk a little bit about that piece.
Well, that is now defunct. that broke down real quick. And that was just because I wanted to do so much for the athletes. Like, athletes that no one really knows about, like, in your immediate community. And just seeing all these cool people, like strongmen, strongwomen, Olympic lifters, CrossFit athletes, like, just – because in the CrossFit world, you just see all these, like, high – like, these names, right? You see all these, like, top-tier names. But you don't really see the people underneath that are actually just doing the same amount of work, doing the same amount of stuff, but they just – happen to kind of miss out all the time. And that was the concept behind the Conquer Club, was to highlight these athletes who are working just as hard, but maybe the opportunities weren't there for them as some other athletes along the way. So I just wanted to highlight those people. But what is years and years later, what is lucky now that I actually kind of get to do the same thing with Honor, because I'm the community outreach manager here, so I get to still highlight those athletes, revisit those people who I had through the Conquer Club and see what they are, what they're up to, but with Honor this time around. So it's just same person, but just with a different company now.
And then you switched over from Honor and Conquer, Conquer, it's
like before and after on Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. Honor and Concord Grape.
Okay, anyway, you switched to Storyteller Sessions, which I actually love that name because I think that's what we're trying to do with ours, is just bring in people from all different backgrounds, all different stories, just to tell their story. So I love the new name, and I know you said you haven't recorded in a while because you've been busy, but we're looking forward to
If I was subscribed to Honor and Conquer, do I have to go resubscribe to Storyteller?
No, I changed everything in the RSS. Yeah, okay.
So it's all the same thing.
It's all the same, okay. Yeah. I didn't know how to change it over, so I did a bunch of Google searches. I had to figure out everything by myself.
That's life.
That's basically what we do for the podcast. It's like, oh, we want to do something, but we don't know how. Let's Google it. So.
Hell yeah, man. That's the best tool in the world. Yeah. Like, if you want to know something, how to do it. So my theory is, if you don't know how to do something, Google it. Take the first five links. If those first five links say the exact same thing, then there must be some truth to it. And then you start to trial and error. And if it doesn't work for you, skip it and then find the next thing. There doesn't, especially with podcasting, I mean the amount of episodes that I have now is probably in the 150 or something, and there were weekly shows, so it was tough to like kind of keep up with it. So there were times where I had to do 4 episodes in one day just to make the month load, you know, easy. So I can release it for me. And then that just became strenuous, and I had sponsors come and go, but everything that I wonder if I'm doing something right, I always take it back to episode 1 where the audio sounded terrible and I didn't know what I was doing and I had the worst cold that day, so I kept sniffling into the microphone. It was the worst episode. But so whenever I got inside my own head going, oh man, the sponsor needs to do this, or my sponsor emailed me saying I'm saying something wrong on the scripts, as soon as that kind of stuff happens, I have to remember a time where I wasn't even getting paid for doing podcasting.
Yeah.
So that kind of keeps everything in perspective a little bit.
That's interesting. The sponsors are checking up. I mean, it makes sense they would, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God.
Yeah, once any company starts putting money into something that you're doing, they want to make sure that their money's getting well spent.
Yeah. We're just dipping our toes into that now. We're just trying to figure it out and do it. But same thing. We're Googling and we're just like talking to people and trying to figure all that out. So
yeah. Hell yeah.
I think I found a friend who in Pittsburgh, it's a local sports team, like just an organization. So it's like, it's interesting once you meet people like that, you know, how you interact with people is always interesting.
Yeah, man. That's usually how it should go, yeah. Right? If you whenever you meet anyone first, just my general rule is don't be a dick. Be nice to everyone. Treat everyone like they're your best friend, and if they're not nice to you, then you have abandoned them.
I like that.
I like it's on the nose.
Perfect. That's got to be on Facebook status.
It's on the nose. If they're not nice to you, you abandon them.
Instagram bio.
Pretty much.
So talk a little bit about what you're currently doing it on. And I know you said you're the community outreach coordinator. I know you also do work for the Fighter and the Kid podcast with Brendan Schaub. And then talk a little bit about what work you do with Aubrey Marcus, if you can.
Yeah, so the work that I do...
What? So, 8 things at once.
Yeah, so many things. All the things. I actually had to get rid of one thing because I thought that was too many. But with Honor, I'm the community outreach manager here. So I talk to people in the gym. I talk to people who don't even know about Honor, just to get the conversation rolling. I maintain relationships with our current sponsored athletes and our affiliates. Just to, again, keep the conversation rolling. If they have any questions for me, I will definitely try and have the answer for them. The Fighter and the Kid podcast. So it's – do you guys know what the Fighter and the Kid podcast is?
No.
It's hosted by this guy named Brendan Schaub and a comedian named Brian Callen. They do a weekly show. I'm the video editor for those guys, so I create the IG, the Instagram videos and do the captioning for that. Aubrey Marcus, I make sure that the SEO video, the SEO for his YouTube videos are top quality.
Yeah.
I upload all his videos there and communicate with his team. So he has – so Aubrey Marcus is the CEO of Onnit, and he has a different team. So we're kind of separate entities. So I have to talk with his team back and forth almost every day just to make sure that what I'm doing is in line with his brand voice. And that's about it. That's kind of all that I'm up to over here. But it's all good fun. You know what I mean? It's all part of the fun.
Well, and
it sounds like a lot.
And like, but like how you, so do you think like the work you did with Honor and Conquer like directly correlated to getting this job? Like,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Like everything that I've learned in the podcasting world, I had to learn by myself. Like I am a one person team. I've had a couple of emails in the past thinking that I had a social media guy, I had a video editing guy, I can't even remember a PR person, but every single relationship that I've made, every single thing that I've done into that podcast is from me. Like I have done every single thing. So when I told Aubrey, our CEO, when I told him that, he was kind of intrigued straight away and he wanted to get to know me. And another thing through community outreach was through Lululemon. So Lululemon is all about going out to gyms, meeting a new community, getting them to know what Lululemon is, getting them into the store, maybe trying the clothes on. So that was the point of Lululemon, is to build brand loyalty.
You're still so doing that's,
it. Yeah, still kind of doing it. Working for them. But yeah, and I still get to do that, but just with this time, it's with a different company. So everything that I've learned up to this point is from Lululemon and podcasting, for sure, 100%.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So have you read Aubrey's book?
No, I have not.
What's Aubrey's book? Own Your Life?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So it's steps to – so a lot of people have like self-help books that go through like their life. But Aubrey has created a book that if you can make one day in your life amazing, this book is going to be that book. So then you can apply that to every single day. Every single day in your life, just to own one day at a time. I think it's a great concept, you know. And the cool thing about this book is that he kind of he does what he preaches. Like every morning, he has his like lemon and Himalayan salt drink in the morning. I see him take it in the Onnit Cafe, which Carly, you've been to.
Yes.
You've been to
the cafe. It's awesome. They have like a smoothie bar thing, and that he just goes and gets smoothies from. It's amazing.
Smoothie.
Yep, that's right. But yeah, he practices what he preaches, and that's kind of what I love about the dude. He's weird in his thinking, but he's managed to make it a way that is easily digestible to the public. It's really cool. I love the book. I haven't read it, but I think the book as an idea is great.
Sorry to put you on the spot there with that.
You're fine.
I'm about like halfway through it so far, and
it's
yeah. I wanted to finish it before this podcast, but like
life.
Yeah. I wanted to read 12 books by the end of the year. I've read one, so
you got time. You got time.
Yeah.
I can work it out.
But it really is like I'm only halfway through it, but it is changing how I think about everything. Like he has a whole chapter on maximizing your commute time, and instead of being disgruntled with other drivers, like use that time to learn and listen to other podcasts and like really open your mind to not starting your day with a miserable commute.
Mondays, so, am I right?
Yeah. And then he talks about taking like cold showers and like breathe because it like wakes you up in the morning and all this stuff. So
yeah.
He takes a lot of like ice baths, and
I take cold showers at the gym afterwards because it's just like, if I don't know, especially like you're hot and sweaty, like it brings everything back down.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
it.
And then the one thing that really got me was he starts every morning with that mineral cocktail that Dion was talking about, with like lemon juice, water, and Himalayan pink salt. And like, so if you think about it, the most, because you wake up dehydrated from sleeping, and then most people's first drink is coffee. And so instead of
me,
so for him, he's like just switching that out to having that mineral water drink as your first, and you can like have it on your nightstand so you can drink it as soon as you wake up. Makes a world of difference compared to drinking coffee as soon as you wake up.
Yeah.
So I've been like hesitant to drink coffee at first. I'm like, wait, I got to get a couple bottles of water in.
Yeah.
Before I can have a cup of coffee.
Well, I started. So I bought like a yoga subscription to the place down the way, but it's hot yoga. Well, it's heated yoga. I don't think it officially is hot enough to be hot yoga. And but that's the thing. I was like, okay, I need to start getting the habit of drinking a shitload of water so that way I don't die on a freaking yoga mat in front of what's Hell it's yeah. a beginner class. It's probably middle-aged women, but it's fine. Yeah. I'll just chill with them. They tend to be cool ladies, I assume.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, check out Aubrey's book, Own the Day, Own Your Life. It might change your life. We'll see.
That's, can I borrow it when you're done?
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. I want to read it.
Hopefully I can finish it this week. We'll see.
Well, I'm going on vacation, so you got time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're always on vacation.
It's only my third one this year.
Only. Okay. So I have what's next for Megan's next fight. And I saw last week that she posted that she's not fighting in June.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get too far into that because I actually want Megan to come on to the podcast and talk about it and how she's handling it.
But not well. I'll give you a spoiler alert. Not well.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I was messaging her last week, but
that's
unfortunate.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. She really was. This is the third. So in June, it's a big tournament that happens in Iowa out of all of the places in the bloody world.
Yeah.
It's in Iowa. It's super expensive to go there. But anyway, I don't know why it's expensive. Anyway, this is the third time she's going to miss out on this tournament, and she's kind of heartbroken about it. But, you know, onwards and upwards.
Yeah.
You can only get better in the time that you've got. You know, now we can focus on some other stuff.
Yeah.
But now – she can eat all the cheese and drink all the wine. So she's very, very
I mean, at least she has you in her corner, literally and in life, to support her through these situations. Because, like, some people don't have that good support system behind them when things like this go wrong. So
it's, in as much as it stinks, maybe it's a nice refocusing, you know, it's as crappy as that sounds. You know, it's like, okay, no, like, let's almost put on the blinders, you know,
and look ahead. I agree with you. 100%. Yeah.
So do you guys have any trips to Pittsburgh planned?
Gosh.
In the near future?
I'm pushing to come back for another little bit. We came back last year for the weekend, but that was for some fights in Ross Township. Mm-hmm. So we need to come back just for like our own personal vacation, just to come back. By the way, I ate so many cannolis on that trip. I had it for breakfast and lunch. I had it for dessert. It was bad. That bakery that's on the strip, that guy knew my name.
Oh, yeah.
I was only there for maybe three days, and the guy knew my name. Or like,
took a Polaroid. You're hanging behind the counter. serve this man first.
Yeah.
Free cannolis.
I never had a cannoli in my life, so I was like, you know, I've seen it on movies. Like, it sounds like it's delicious. So I just bought a bunch, and I loved it. Oh, I loved it so much.
That sounds amazing right now.
Yeah.
A cannoli.
Yeah. Well, when you're back, obviously, we'll have to have you visit our exciting studio, aka my apartment.
Yeah,
and then, whatever works, right? Whatever works.
And then we can walk down to Lululemon.
Yes.
Together.
Yeah.
And then hopefully someday in the near future, we can do Broken to Barbell on the road and come visit you in Austin.
I'd love to go to Austin again. I went one time and I loved it. I need to go
so
again.
Cool. And yeah. I've never been there, so.
Yeah.
It was an exciting place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you. What do you have anything else to say for the good of the group?
Well, there are a couple of things I'm excited about. One, season 2 of Queer Eye is coming out soon, so I'm very excited for that.
Did you see our Instagram story the other day?
No.
It was no. It might still be on there on Broken to Barbell's Insta story, but it's the Queer Eye guys doing their thing.
Yeah.
Where's my phone? I lost it.
I need to
it's
see
not
it.
Not on there anymore.
Oh no.
You'll just have to do it again.
Send it to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all in Australia right now, so I'm living through all of their IG stories. Like, even though it's not New Zealand, like, it's, you know, same part of the world.
Did you see when Antoni uploaded that picture of him laying in bed? And then all the other guys in his robe. So then all the other guys uploaded their picture of them in bed in their robes.
Mimicking it. Yeah. I loved it. So good.
That was my favorite. I love Antoni.
But I'm very excited about that. Currently watching Handmaid's Tale on Hulu. That's good too. Oh,
I need to see
but
that.
In life, nothing crazy going on. We're just, Megan's got a fight coming up in September, so we're kind of chilling a little bit, and then we're going to start ramping up training soon. I'm taking off to Houston today because we've got some fighters fighting on the card tonight, so I'm going to be doing that. But that's about it. But I do want to talk to one of you guys about sending you some Onnit products.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that.
Yeah,
a little
for sure.
Care package for everyone.
Woohoo.
You have a Broken to Barbell shirt on the way. I mailed it yesterday.
Yeah.
All right.
And some rainbow stickers.
Yes. Our pride edition of stickers. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Yeah, John. You're a rock star.
It was a lot of fun. And
thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you guys taking the time and, you know, and talking to me. I don't know why you guys want to talk to me. I don't really have an exciting story.
It's a cool story. It's a new story. You know, every single one,
exciting.
We learn something different.
Yep. You've been all over the place. You're killing it.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And then what are our updates? I mean, I haven't been going to the gym a lot, and I go on vacation soon. So that's me. How's Cannon, Sam?
He's good. Very Aww. Cute. Getting very big.
I bet.
He's like 12 pounds now.
Oh my
He's
God.
Only 2.5 months.
I was just going to say, I was like, wait a minute. I was like trying to do the math in my head, like that meme with all the little math equations floating around. Yep. I was like 12 pounds. Like,
yeah, he's getting big. 24 inches, so he'll be tall, hopefully.
That's almost a tender at this point, not a nugget anymore.
Yeah, wow. He's getting into tender territory.
Carly, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I hurt my hip.
Yeah.
So I tried to squat yesterday and I couldn't squat more than 145 pounds. And I was like, this is the worst. But I'm remaining positive.
Just keep it up. You'll get it.
Yeah.
You'll
so like better. 40 days till my next meet. So
we'll keep doing
lots
photo
of
shoots.
Hip stretches.
We'll keep doing photo shoots / workouts on the north side.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
No, it'll be fine.
All right. Well, thanks again, Dion.
Yeah, Dion, you rock.
You guys can, we will tag him in the show notes. You can find all his info there. What is your Instagram account? Let's start there.
My Instagram account is at Dion Ciccone, DionSeKone. So I'm on the IG. I went to Krispy Kreme the other day. I did a nice little video in Krispy Kreme. I was listening to Genuine by that Pony song.
Yeah.
And I was just getting super excited about my donuts.
The Pony song? Like, Little Sebastian.
What?
What is it from Parks and Rec? Yeah. What is that?
I can't. Little Sebastian.
But isn't that Genuine?
That sings it?
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's Dawn. What's her name? Donna.
Well, that's her real life. Oh yeah, yeah.
Her. It's her cousin.
Her cousin.
Genuine's her cousin.
Yeah.
in Parks and Rec.
Of course it is.
Yeah. All right. Ugh. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Are we ready to say goodbye?
Yes.
Dion, you want to say goodbye with us?
Ready? Yeah, sure.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.